The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We have a lot to get to on today's program. We just filmed a television program yesterday. I'm going to take a little bit of material from that and also remind you of something we touched on last week regarding Winston Churchill and that essay he wrote back in 1931. We did the program yesterday on this terrible paradox that you see in the world today with all of this advancement in technology and science and industry, and together, too, this rise in appalling evils, this escalation in evil. You see it all over this world. And Revelation 12, given even some of the things we'll talk about here in a moment regarding yesterday and the news coming out of Helsinki in Finland, but you certainly see the devil's fingerprints all over these events. You see his spirit working behind the scenes, just stirring up all kinds of hatred and animosity. As I say, President Trump and Vladimir Putin, they had their two-hour meeting, their private meeting yesterday. And then, of course, the news conference. And it's becoming so predictable now. The hysterical overreaction to the news conference.
His performance with Vladimir Putin is being blasted from all sides.
What we all saw and heard in Helsinki today is really frightening. An absolutely shameful display by an American president with the whole world watching.
Trump got beat up in a locker room.
His performance today will live in infamy as much as the Pearl Harbor attack or Kristallnacht.
Putin's lapdog in Helsinki.
We have a president who is betraying us.
The president is standing with the Russian president while trashing his own country.
Today's press conference in Helsinki was one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president in memory.
That was the president of the United States turning and betraying his own intelligence community.
I mean, he stood there like a little wet noodle.
If Trump isn't a Russian agent, he sure plays a good one on TV.
Betray our country.
I thought it was appalling.
Americans have never seen a president of the United States support an adversary the way President Trump has supported President Putin.
Such a thorough debacle, such a disgrace to our country, such a disgrace to the office of the presidency.
Either of my daughters could have done a better job.
I have never seen an American president simply surrender to the leader of Russia. You should call this the surrender summit.
I would even use the word submissive.
The idea that an American president is kowtowing to a Russian president is fairly remarkable.
It was nothing short of treasonous.
President Trump threw the U.S. intelligence community under the bus, and Putin drove right over it.
There may have been an American flag on that stage. I did not see an American president.
So this is the latest round. This is the latest reason of how many now? 20, 25, 30 impeachable offenses in just 18 months or so. Now, because he didn't stand up to Vladimir Putin, now all of a sudden, everyone in the leftist media, they are hawks. I mean, they want a leader with backbone. They don't want someone that bows down before dictators. They want someone that's going to openly rebuke Vladimir Putin, because after all, there were 12 Russians who were trying to hack into the U.S. election process in 2016. And really what they're going after, but they're going after Trump. He's target. He's public enemy number one. But they believe in their heart of hearts that Trump was part of this corruption. They believe he was working in cahoots with Vladimir Putin. When it was in fact the critics or the opponents of Donald Trump who were seeking help from the Russians. It's pretty remarkable. The New York Daily News, its cover today, it's got Donald Trump there. holding hands with Vladimir Putin while he's aiming a gun at the head of Uncle Sam. Okay, we've seen these covers coming out of Germany, coming out of Europe. But now, right there in the United States, I mean, he's killing Uncle Sam. He's betraying the United States. They focused on this one point of President Trump not criticizing the Russian president because of the Russian meddling in 2016. But if it wasn't that one point, it would have been something else. They were waiting for this. I mean, for a year and a half, it's been Russia, Russia, Russia. And then finally there's the summit with the president of Russia. They have been waiting for this. This is just the latest round in the nonstop attacks against a sitting U.S. president. Russia, the truth of it, as I said yesterday, Russia has been meddling in elections since the end of the Second World War. And Peter Strzok said as much last week in his testimony. He said, yeah, there was this in the 60s, there was this in the 70s. Did it happen in 2012? Oh, I'm certain it did. It sure did. Yes, it did. It happens every time. But this time it's different. Because this time they've got to take out a U.S. president. And so the media, fancying themselves as the story here, they think everyone's fixated on what the media believes and does. And so here they are, whipped into this frenzy. As I say, it's becoming so predictable. This was the gotcha question from yesterday's press conference, clip three.
Thank you. Question for each president. President Trump, yes. You first. Just now, President Putin denied having anything to do with the election interference in 2016. Every U.S. intelligence agency has concluded that Russia did. My first question for you, sir, is who do you believe?
Who do you believe? Are you going to side with the U.S. intel community? Are you going to side with the deep state? Or are you going to side with this murderous dictator? Well, that's a difficult question to answer if you ask me. Because here the president, for a year and a half, he's been fighting back against all of these political opponents who want to take him down, who say and have said from the beginning, he's illegitimate. He doesn't belong there. He should be booted out of office. He should be impeached. And he's fighting back and he's exposing their evil and sinister motivations. He's exposing them. That's why they hate them so much, or hate him so much. I mean, there's no getting around that Vladimir Putin is a tyrant, an authoritarian, a dictator, and he's vicious, this man, the way that he leads. But so is Kim Jong-un, and President Trump said a lot of nice things to him, so it's not like it's a huge shock. It's not like it's a big surprise. But it's not exactly the easiest thing in the world either, to try to reach out or make peace with a dictator. Look at the way Obama was doing it nonstop for 8 years. He didn't put any, he said so. There are no limitations. He was asked. He was asked in one of the debates leading up to his presidency, will you talk with anyone without any preconditions, any adversaries, any tyrants? He says, I would. Absolutely, I would. This is Obama. He said the reason is this, that the notion that somehow not talking to countries is somehow punishment to them, which has been the guiding diplomatic principle of this administration. Speaking of George W. Bush, he said it's ridiculous. And the media applauded him. Oh, that's what we need. We need someone to sit down with the mullahs. We need someone to go to baseball games with the Castro family. We need that sort of thing. Because George W. Bush, I mean, he was a cowboy. He always shot from the hip. He talked about that axis of evil. President Reagan talked about the evil empire. And oh, how they hated that. But now the tables have turned. Now Donald Trump is working in cahoots with Vladimir Putin. Now we know, because of this farce that we saw on Friday, you can see why it was timed the way it was. Now, looking at it in hindsight, Rod Rosenstein doing what he did on Friday, announcing all these indictments, right? Just days before the big summit with Vladimir Putin, a total setup, the latest in a long line of attacks. That's what it is. That's exactly what this is. President Obama was out there, as I say, the world apology tour from the beginning. From the beginning, he went to Cairo, remember, in 2009. And he said in front of a Muslim Brotherhood audience, he said, the United States played a role in the overthrow of a democratically elected Iranian government. And since the Islamic Revolution, Iran has played a role in the acts of hostage-taking and violence against the U.S. troops and civilians. A total moral equivalency, see? Look, you've taken us hostage. You've been, you're guilty of some terrorism. But, you know, we have our sins as well. The United States, I mean, we played a role in the overthrow of your democratically elected government back in the 50s. During the Cold War period. But hey, I'm here to tell you that we're ready to move on. We're ready to forget about that past. And the media cheered him on. This was a tremendous breakthrough. This was going to bring peace to Egypt, to the Middle East, to North Africa. It was going to bring peace between the United States and Iran. Pretty amazing. And yet here comes the media yesterday, thinking that the world revolves around them, thinking that the world won't remember what happened just a few months ago or just a couple years ago. Well, it shows. It really does show just how what we covered, the historical illiteracy, historical amnesia. We went through that study last week on history. All of these commentators, oh, this is the worst ever. It's worse than Pearl Harbor. It's a day of infamy. Do these people even know a little bit about their own history? It's the worst such meeting between a Russian and an American leader. That's the way one commentator put it. Thomas Friedman at the New York Times, he said, Donald Trump is either an asset of Russian intelligence or really enjoys playing one on TV. And there was another one in the montage you just heard. Said the same thing, the same cute language they're using. He's a Russian stooge. He's Vladimir Putin's poodle. He's Vladimir Putin's lapdog. Or worse, he's infiltrated the United States of America. He's committed treason. The Spectator says, if only a member of the president's entourage departed the summit for Moscow to receive official honors for his service to Russia, then perhaps Donald Trump's critics might view him in a more favorable light. This actually happened at the conclusion of the Yalta summit when Franklin Roosevelt's advisor, Alger Hiss, traveled to Moscow. There, his Russian masters decorated him. This, strangely, does not besmirch the reputation of Franklin Roosevelt. Oh, no. Oh, no, he's the greatest. He's held up as the best president in the minds of progressives. They love Franklin Roosevelt. He went off to the Yalta conference with Alger Hiss, the Russian spy. Spectator says what happened at Yalta proved far more consequential than anything that comes out of the Helsinki conference. I mean, it explains here. I mean, here at the Yalta conference, the Western powers were basically carving up Europe, saying, here, Russia can have this, and we'll take this, and we'll take this. I mean, even there, it's a difficult problem. to deal with coming out of World War II after smashing Nazism and doing it with the help of Stalin, with the help of Russia. And so Europe was carved up. All of this intrigue, all of this back channel arrangements. And Soviet spies. Spectator says one might give Roosevelt a pass if Hiss served as the only Russian agent working at a high level within his administration. But he goes on here. Harry Dexter White, the assistant secretary of the U.S. Treasury and senior American official shaping post-war agreements at Bretton Woods, White House economic advisor Lachlan Curry, and State Department official Lawrence Duggan, all toiled for the interests of Stalin on the U.S. government payroll, though. It says Samuel Dickstein, a New Deal ally of President Roosevelt, who ironically helped found the House Committee of Un-American Activities, received a monthly stipend from the Russians to do their bidding. Roosevelt's vice president during his third term, Henry Wallace, ran for president in 1948 in a campaign largely run by communists and their sympathizers. That's the history from the past century. And yet, listening to the media yesterday, I mean, this is the worst ever. He didn't rebuke Vladimir Putin. He must be Putin's poodle. He wasn't critical enough. Now they want us to criticize Russia. Before President Trump came along, they loved Russia. Hillary Clinton loved doing business with Russia. President Obama loved the reset button. He loved sitting down with Medvedev and saying, hey, if I get reelected, I'll have more flexibility. I'll give you an even more favorable deal. That was all going on, not in the 1940s or 50s, like what I'm reading here from The Spectator. This is 2009, 2012, 2013. What a change. What a dramatic sea change we see in the mainstream media. It says here, this does not absolve Trump from criticism regarding certain answers in his joint press conference with Vladimir Putin. And that's true. I thought of this quote from Churchill, just following that summit with Kim Jong-un of North Korea, where he was patting him on the back and shaking hands with, and all of his people are suffering because of that dictatorship. Churchill, in commenting on Molotov, the infamous Molotov of the Molotov-Ribbentrop agreement, Churchill said of Molotov that he's a man of outstanding ability and cold-blooded ruthlessness. I mean, Churchill had to work with those types. And he admitted that in some cases, here's someone who is sharp and has some ability, but he is cold-blooded. He is ruthless. And maybe, as some have said, that press conference could have been infused with a few more statements like that. But this is the worst? What an overreaction. What a myopic view of the world. What does it say about the historical illiteracy of these people? What does it say about anything that they say or cover from here on out? If this is the way they react, these are people who are motivated purely by their hatred for Donald Trump. That's what it amounts to. And that's why you have to come to thetrumpet.com. That's why you need to listen to this program so that you can get the straight truth and God's perspective. I mean, what's the real significance of the, not just yesterday, but the entire trip through Europe, then the UK, then Helsinki? Well, we'll touch on that in just a moment. I want to refer you to Great again. When I was getting ready for the program this morning, I was thinking about all of the literature we've had in the last 3, 4, 5 years. America Under Attack back in 2013. Even recently, the two latest Trumpet magazines. Well, I guess the most recent one just came out, is The World Getting Better and Better. But before that, you had the special feature on the deep state. And then before that, America being saved temporarily. But you look into the third, well, look at the chapter He Was Right. The communist infiltration of America was prophesied, taking you through some history going all the way back to the 1940s and 50s and 60s. And all of this was going on in Roosevelt's administration. It's happening in our universities. The breakdown of the family, that's been a casualty caused primarily because of this infiltration. And now, only now, July 2018, all of the most distinguished commentators suddenly turning on a dime, very concerned, gravely concerned about communist infiltration or Russian infiltration. My father, in chapter 3 of Great Again, the title of the chapter is The Origins of America's Dangerous Turn Left. How did this all start? Where did this begin? And who are the ones today who are actually doing the bidding of the communist movement in the United States of America? My father has a section on page 37 about Alger Hiss and how that he was a leftist hero. These types are celebrated. These types, like Bernie Sanders, that want to bring down capitalism, that proudly proclaim, just like the new gal that won in New York, I think it was, 28 years old. She's a proud socialist. She's out there saying capitalist is going to come to an end. I mean, they celebrate that, the radical left. They want that. They admire good communist ideology. They admire it. Well, this section on Alger Hiss, my father says he was educated at Harvard Law School. He clerked for Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes. I mean, this was quite a leader. This is the radical leftist from the 1940s and 50s. He, as my father says here, we just read some of this in The Spectator, he was even in the delegation at the Yalta Conference, where Franklin D. Roosevelt, Churchill, and Joseph Stalin divided up Europe. It says, through Hiss, the communists were actually penetrating the Truman administration. He was in high places in the State Department. Why, they infiltrated the State Department way back in the 1940s. And yet you listen to them today. You listen to Peter Strzok saying that there's no way there could be any improper behavior. We have too many protective layers in place. We've got all of my supervisors. We've got Andrew McCabe. We've got Jim Comey. I've got my friend Lisa Page. We've got Loretta Lynch over at the DOJ. We've got Barack Obama himself. These are patriots, he says. Nothing bad could happen. A lot of bad is happening. That's the truth. That's the truth. Here's President Trump. He's visiting all these nations over the course of 6-7 days. And it ends with this. Everyone's saying it's a disgrace. It's treason. He's committed this. It's the worst since Pearl Harbor. It'll go down in infamy. A day of infamy. That's the mass media. Tens of thousands, hundreds, thousands of them. All in unison. He's got to go down. We've got to bring him down. He needs to be impeached. We can't even call him the president anymore. I saw a U.S. flag on the stage, but I didn't see a president. I saw two Russian agents. That's a congressman. That's someone in Congress. I don't remember if he's a congressman or a senator, but he's in Congress. And they say that sort of thing just routinely. And on the other side, you've got how many voices? You've got one voice and maybe a few of his supporters who is saying, look, when I was in Europe talking to those NATO leaders, I did see some of that hearing from Thursday. Peter Strzok lying. What a disgrace. What a disgrace. Now, who is right? What is really and truly disgraceful? When you look at the great institutions of the United States of America, when you look at what's happening in the State Department, when you look at what's happened to the FBI, where is the real disgrace? Well, it says here in this section, this is just one little section in Great Again. Apparently, the left likes Soviet spies. Because when Richard Nixon brought Hiss down, Nixon brought him down, Alger Hiss. He made himself a target. And then the media went after Nixon. And it was anything and everything to bring down the president. Because he took out one of their favored leftists, who happened to be a Soviet spy. It says, Nixon came to national prominence as a result of this investigation, Shepard writes in his book, my father's quoting from a book, and Hiss was convicted of perjury in 1950. They had reached the statute of limitations and couldn't really convict him of much, but they did convict him. The liberal Eastern establishment, particularly its many Harvard-educated members, never forgave Nixon for his leadership in bringing down one of their own. See, Alger Hiss was one of their own. And who did they go after? The Soviet spy or the United States president? Answer, the U.S. president. And that's their prime target today. Soviet spy, Alger Hiss. He was one of their own. Came out of Harvard, came out of one of America's top universities. Worked for a Supreme Court justice. Worked for FDR. My father says here, most of these people hate the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. They are lawless. They can't stand to be constrained by the Constitution and law. They can't stand it. And that's why when you heard Barack Obama talk about the Constitution, it was stated in such a contemptuous way. It's a charter of constraints, something to that effect. They're negative laws. They prevent us from getting our agenda done. That's the way he viewed the Constitution of the United States. So who are the Russian stooges here? That's the thing. Where are the most evil and sinister forces? Where are they that are working to bring down the United States of America? My father says here, this is in Great Again. We have to keep this in mind. They have a plan. Their sole purpose is to destroy the government of the land. They seek to destroy the whole American system and replace it with another, which is really communism and tyranny. They want all of America looking to one man, like Russia looked to Stalin. But now, all of a sudden, I mean, they're really in favor of a president standing up to the leader of Russia. He should have confronted Vladimir Putin. And because he didn't, he's not really the president of the United States. Listen to this question again from another reporter that was at the press conference yesterday, clip 4.
A question for President Putin. Thank you. Two questions for you, sir. Can you tell me what President Trump may have indicated to you about officially recognizing Crimea as part of Russia? And then secondly, sir, does the Russian government have any compromising material on President Trump or his family?
Does the Russian government have any dirt on the Trumps? That was a question at a news conference yesterday. These reporters, you see, they're concerned about dirt. So long as it's from Russia on Trump. But the dirt that's been exposed over the past 3 years is all of the dirt that Obama and that Hillary and that the DNC have been digging up on Trump, and they have been using the dirt. They have been using the dirt to get warrants through the FISA courts, to spy on Donald Trump to plant informants. All of this has been exposed. All of this is out in the open. Donald Trump wrote in a tweet, this is July 15th, the other day, "Much of our news media is indeed the enemy of the people, and all the Dems, the Democrats, know how to do, all that they know how to do is to resist and obstruct. This is why there is such hatred and dissension in our country." He got a lot of flack, a lot of criticism for that tweet as well. But think about what he's saying. And look at what happened then, the day after that tweet went out. As he said, going into that summit, Putin could hand over Moscow to me for all of the injustices, for all of the crimes that Russia has committed against humanity. And I'd come home with Moscow, this beautiful city, and I'd still be criticized. It's not enough. Do you really think if President Trump would have rebuked Vladimir Putin in that press conference yesterday, do you think the news media would have gone away from that satisfied? Well, that's pretty good. We're really proud of our president. They were waiting for this news conference. They have been waiting for it for months. And if it wouldn't have been that, it would have been something else. They're fueled by their hatred of Donald Trump. The people who had dirt on Donald Trump, as I said, they come from the Democrat slash communist wing. That's the truth. And so here's the president out there defending himself, defending his administration, and just absolutely outraged at what is going on in the upper echelons of the FBI and the DOJ. What has gone on and what is still there? Peter Strzok, he's still a paid employee of the FBI. Listen to what Donald Trump said last night on Fox. Here's clip one.
"You have to find out who did Peter Strzok report to, because it was Comey and it was McCabe, but it was also probably Obama. If you think that Obama didn't know what was going, when you watch, and I said it today with President Putin, when you watch Peter Strzok's performance, the lover of Lisa Page, when you watch that performance, the FBI, I'll tell you, I know so many people in the FBI, these are incredible people, what they're going through watching this guy, a total phony. I mean, how about we'll stop it? He's a disgrace to our country. He's a disgrace to the great FBI. A disgrace. And how he's still being paid is beyond belief."
That's the president. He cannot believe that he's still being paid. Rod Rosenstein, however you justify keeping him on the payroll, but what a disgrace. We'll stop him, the president says. I mean, he can say that and get away with it. And then come and under oath say, well, I didn't really mean it. What I meant was the American people will stop him. It is a disgrace. This is the real disgrace. And he's exposing it. Listen, you take down one of their favored sons, that history teaches us this, Alger Hiss. If you take one of them down or expose them, they are going to come after you. Relentlessly, nonstop. Listen to what John Brennan, he's the former head of the CIA. This is the one Obama appointed. He was working for the CIA for many years. And when Obama got into the office, he fell in love with Brennan and his policies, his views. And now, as I've said before, here's Brennan, who's a commentator on MSNBC. He sends out these tweets yesterday saying that the president's guilty of treason, that he's a traitor. And then he followed that up by saying this on MSNBC, clip two.
"Well, Brian, I thought that there was nothing that Donald Trump could say that would shock me, but I was wrong. I was just totally shocked at the performance of Donald Trump in Helsinki at a press conference with Vladimir Putin. I just found that it was outrageous. And even when the press, and thank goodness the press asked the right questions, even when the press gave him an opportunity to hold Russia accountable for anything, he chose to talk about Hillary Clinton, about his election, about service. He criticized American citizens, Secretary Clinton, and others, as opposed to really taking advantage of a world stage with all the world's eyes upon them to point out how unacceptable Russia's behavior and interference in our election and the elections of other democratic countries around the globe is. But he just shirked those responsibilities. I cannot understand how the national security team can continue to abide by this, and how Pompeo and Bolton and Kelly can continue in their jobs. This, I think, rises to the point of good American patriots resigning in objection to that performance by Donald Trump. Again, words, I'm at a loss of words to describe just how outrageous his words, his statements, his behavior has been. And one can only conclude that he fears Vladimir Putin, and that one-on-one discussion, who knows what was discussed there, and how Mr. Putin now is the master puppeteer of Donald Trump, the person who is in our Oval Office. Outrageous.
That's the former director of the CIA. He was in office just a year and a half ago. That's what he says about the sitting president of the United States. He's calling on Pompeo, Bolton, and Kelly to resign in protest. They have to do it. If they're patriots, they have to do it. John Brennan voted for the Communist Party when he was in college during the 1970s. He voted for Communist Party USA. I forget the guy's name. I think he's in an article I have here in a second. He voted for Communist Party USA during the Cold War. And then a few years later, he's brought into the CIA. Works in the CIA for many, many years. And then, well, he's a top-notch CIA in a high position. In 2010, when he says that, this is the direct quote, "Nor do we describe our enemy as jihadist or Islamist, because jihad is a holy struggle," you see? He knows Arabic. He loves Islam. And he says about the word jihad, it's a holy struggle, a legitimate tenet of Islam. I mean, this is a legitimate belief of Islam, meaning to purify oneself or one's community. And there's nothing holy or legitimate or Islamic about murdering innocent men, women, and children. So he was the one largely behind the movement in the Obama administration to just remove those terms, jihadist, Islamist. They're just murderers. Look, you got to strip Islam out of it. That's not Islam. And so Obama sees him and says, hey, he needs to be in charge of the CIA. And so Obama put him in that position, whereupon he started to spy on millions and millions and millions of Americans. And then now he's out of office, and look at his, well, don't look at his Twitter feed. It really reflects an individual who's not very stable emotionally or mentally. The Spectator says, John Brennan's anti-Trump tweets grow more and more maniacal. And he refers to the tweets. That tells people all they need to know about the unseriousness of the left's impeachment drive, not to mention exposing once again the demented malice behind the Obama administration's spying on the Trump campaign. We're talking about Soviet-style tactics, Russian infiltration. Where is it coming from, primarily? The unhinged criticism is also hilariously rich, given that John Brennan, who supported the Soviet-controlled American Communist Party, meets the textbook definition of a useful idiot for the Russians at the height of the Cold War. He was rooting for the Reds. He voted for Gus Hall. That's the name of the guy. Communist Party. He voted for Gus Hall, the candidate for the Communist Party in 1976. Now he's a Russian hawk. Now he wants us to attack Russia. What changed? Spectator says, how could Brennan support the Soviet Union, even to the point of voting for one of its puppets, but then hysterically denounced any diplomacy toward Putin's Russia? The answer lies in Russia's shedding of communism. Brennan, who refused to take his oath as CIA director on the Bible, I'll just repeat that. Brennan, who refused to take his oath as CIA director on the Bible, misses the days of atheistic Marxism and fears the revival of a Christian Russia. Brennan deplored Reagan's description of the Soviet Union as an evil empire and joined other leftists in demanding that he pursue detente with Marxist thugs who make Putin look like a piker. Were Russia still collectivist, he would be using his Twitter account, which boasts his belief in the collective future, to praise, not trash, diplomatic gestures. It says here, anybody familiar with Brennan's past, which includes not only supporting the evil empire of the Soviets, but also the evil empire of radical Islam. His time as Obama's CIA director was marked by apologetics for the thugs of the Muslim Brotherhood, ludicrous attempts to sanitize the concept of jihad, and nonstop whitewashing of the problem of Islamic terrorism. It says, that was in parentheses, it says, can only laugh at his anti-Trump antics, that the media gives this fulminating, well, uses some derogatory terms here, but that the media would give him a platform is a measure of their own lack of seriousness and absurdly sudden hawkishness. All of a sudden now, you see, they're very hawkish. Well, as I say, in looking at this ridiculous overreaction, it would be good. America Under Attack, as I mentioned, those last couple of Trumpet magazines, that third chapter of Great Again. And then the chapter, I forget which chapter it is, but it's the chapter in He Was Right on the communist infiltration and what Mr. Armstrong was writing following the Second World War. And he was talking in the 1950s about a warfare that many Americans don't understand. It's a kind of warfare we don't understand or know how to cope with, he said. It uses every diabolical means to weaken us from within, sapping our strength, perverting our morals, sabotaging our educational system, wrecking our social structure, destroying our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power, demoralizing our armed forces. And finally, after such infiltration, overthrowing our government by force and violence. Well, as the article goes on to bring out, the first stage is subversion. And there's some excellent history in this section. In He Was Right, the communist infiltration of the United States. First, subvert. Then corrupt the educational system, infiltrate the Western University campus, wreck the economy. That's part of the plan as well. And then there's the Marxist plot to abolish the family, to undermine the traditional family. It says in the article, Herbert Armstrong warned that communist subversion would use every diabolical means to pervert our morals, wreck our social structure, and destroy our spiritual and religious life. Communism is the cause. Who else was warning about this infiltration during the 1940s and 50s? It says, finally, talk of equality sounds noble, but Herbert Armstrong warned that communist equality, quote-unquote, was only a means to an end. As fostered by the Soviet Union, he wrote in 1949, communism is launched as a worldwide class struggle, pitting the poorer classes against those who have been economically more successful, arousing class prejudice, stirring up race hatreds. While they pretend to stand for peace, they engender only strife. and they feed like a vulture on poverty, discontent, discouragement, confusion, and chaos. Mr. Armstrong warned in 1949, communism is the devil's effort through his demon-inspired human tools to take from us this greatest national and economic blessing God ever conferred on any people. And then the chapter concludes with, yes, he was right. He was right. Now, as we step back for a moment, well, maybe we could take a quick break, and then I'll just come back with a couple of concluding thoughts. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send any comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com.
To America's founding fathers, character meant everything to the success of the nation and its leadership. The Constitution was based upon the fundamental principles of religion and morality. These were the primary building blocks of the American nation. George Washington said, "The foundations of our national policy will be laid in the pure and immutable principles of private morality." Character was no minor issue to America's first president. He regarded it as the basis of national policy. Where did the founding fathers develop these ideas? Many of these principles stemmed from the Holy Scriptures. The Bible provided early Americans with the instruction and guidance of how to properly govern one's life. These beliefs helped build a nation of strong families and upright leaders. Today, America has dismissed the Bible as the foundation of developing righteous character. Men now leave it to themselves to determine right from wrong. Where has the rejection of biblically based principles led this nation? There is a cause for these effects. To understand the course of events that have led this nation to its current state, visit thetrumpet.com and click on the Literature tab to request our free booklet, Character in Crisis.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
Just to step back for a moment and look at the bigger picture, in the first segment, we talked a lot about what Herbert Armstrong was saying about the communist infiltration of the United States as early as the late 1940s and early 1950s. But when looking at President Trump's visits this past week or over the past week and a half, he's back in the United States, I guess, now. But his trip through Europe and then the stop in the UK and up to Scotland and then over to Finland to meet with the Russian president. I mean, the real takeaway from a prophetic standpoint, really two. The first we covered in the first segment. I mean, the sickness and the division within the United States. The hatred, the animosity. I mean, these two sides just digging in their heels. And really, the one, I mean, you can put a lot more blame on the one, like Great Again brings out, and like the communist infiltration chapter brings out. They want to bring down the government. That's certainly a big takeaway. But also, I mean, the collusion that we want to be looking out for is the Russian-German collusion. That's the alliance. I mean, all those years that Mr. Armstrong was exposing communism and its influence in the United States, he was also saying, but Russia and the United States are not going to go to war. It's not prophesied. I mean, we are prophesied to have a sickness from within. It's like my father says in Great Again. I mean, you can't put the blame ultimately on either political party. It's really the sickness of human nature. But getting back to that point, all those years, Mr. Armstrong was saying Russia and the United States, they're not going to war. It's not prophesied. What is prophesied is for a beast power to emerge out of the heart of Europe. And then furthermore, when you see that German-led power, when you see it, and you learn this lesson from history as well, but when you see it enter into these relationships or this relationship with Russia, and that was something, as it happens, that President Trump exposed even last week. All these billions of dollars that you're spending, that you're giving to Vladimir Putin, when we're supposed to be protecting you from Russia. That's what the supposed Russian agent was saying last week, as he was offending more than a few bureaucrats in Europe. My father, as far back as 10 years ago, talked about Europe waging a quiet but concerted war on American commerce. And then here today, you see President Trump complaining about these billions of dollars that we're spending to defend Europe against the Russian threat primarily. Well, this most recent trip, it could really be a pretty big milestone toward making Germany great again. These are momentous times that we're living in. As I mentioned yesterday, Richard Palmer had the Europe and America. They've lost that loving feeling. That's in the most recent Trumpet magazine. Read that again to get the real significance here prophetically. The relationship, the deteriorating relationship between the United States and Germany, and then this alliance between Germany and Russia, and these now forming alliances for trade between Europe and the Asian conglomerate. And there's going to be more nations that hop on before it's over. In any event, I think Richard Palmer is going to be trying to give a big picture perspective in his Trumpet brief either today or tomorrow. So you can be looking for that. I thought I'd conclude here with an email that came in response to yesterday's program and the closing segment in particular about the July 16th anniversary. She says here, I just listened to your TD concerning James chapter 5. What a joyous and humbling thing it must be. That you were an important part in today's anniversary, since you were the first to read Malachi's message. And she says here, am I remembering correctly that in autumn of that year, after reading it, you went back to Ambassador College in Big Sandy, Texas, and really began seeing the changes and untruths that the false leaders in the church were preaching? Once there, did you not compare their teachings to the Bible teaching with what we had received from Mr. Armstrong, convincing you of the importance and accuracy of your father's book? She writes, I know that in December, when your father and Mr. Amos were fired from the WCG, that your sister left her job in Pasadena and came home to be one of the first members of the PCG. It was a long time ago, 29 years. But she's right. I read Malachi's message, that first draft of it, at a youth camp in Oklahoma when I came home briefly for the summer. Before heading back to Big Sandy, Texas, as a sophomore, I transferred from Pasadena to Big Sandy over the summer. And it was an eye-opening experience. It was a wonderful education. And I got it in a very unique way, because what they were actually preaching in the classes, in the Bible classes, was wrong, as they were changing so many of the doctrines. And yet what I was getting that was right there in their library. All of that material, the sermon tapes, the literature, the articles, direct from Herbert Armstrong, and I was able, as she says, to compare the two as a 19-year-old, and that really did form a strong foundation for me then to come into the church. I joined the PCG 3 weeks after my father was fired. Well, that's all that we have time for today, but I'm sure we'll have plenty more to pick up with on tomorrow's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.